The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It settles in your soul.
It does.
The soul of Jefferson.
It is the soul of Jefferson. Talking about the soul of Jefferson, I am here with Janet Chandler.
Good morning.
And Wynn Carpenter. I'm Terry Raposa. This is Jefferson's State of Mind.
Good morning, good morning.
And if we're all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, as my partner would always say.
Yep.
We're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading. 96.5 FM, where the music is better, 1460 AM. We are your talk radio, and you can listen to us online at KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
And we're going to have an interesting show today. We're going to talk about the initiative to split California into four separate and equal states, and if you can share this with people, that would be great. If you can go to the archive and send them to the archive, you just simply go to programming on KCNR1460.com. You go to the programming, and once you get there, you go to Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. And you hit on the podcast, and we will be, I believe we, Dave, isn't it like 10 minutes after we're done the...
Yeah, even 5, 10 minutes.
5, 10 minutes after we're done with this program, it'll be up for you to share. Anyway, before we go any further, I would really like to thank our sponsor, Patrick Jones, Jones Fort, Marshall, Jackie, the whole crew over there, great people. They're at 1600 East Cypress Street in number 2. Their phone number is 530-222-3223, and they are wonderful on any of your firearm needs. They have CCW classes. They have firearm safety classes. They can help you with any kind of California regulation. They have gun transfers, and they're just absolutely wonderful. They helped me with some things this week, and I just can't say enough about them and how great they are. And Jackie is wonderful. If you have a wife or a girlfriend or a daughter or someone who needs some help with a firearm and never has really used firearms before but is interested in getting one, she's just so great with everybody, and it's a wonderful place to go to. They will treat you like friends. Anyway, we are here today, and we're going to talk about this initiative that we have moving forward. So, Janet, you want to take it away on kind of start us off here a little bit?
Sure. We have put together an initiative that we hope will gather enough signatures that it will appear on the state ballot of California throughout the entire state. We're not messing around with just the northern counties. We figure every county in this state needs to look at what's going on and see if we can come up with a better way to do things. So we have come up with the idea of dividing California into four separate states. We all know that government works best when it's closest to the people, and right now we do not have a government that is close to the people. I don't care where you live in California, the government is not responsive to you. We want to be sure that our elected officials follow the will of the people and not their own personal agendas. And I think we can see every time that Sacramento legislature is in business, they're not doing what we want them to do. They are separated from the people who elect them. Once they're in office, we never hear from them again. We used to have a state senator. We used to call him what was his name? Something Who, because we never saw him. he would get elected for our district and then head to Sacramento, and that Ted, was it Ted?
Ted
Who.
Ted
yeah.
Who.
Ted Who.
Yes.
Yep.
It's also mandatory that representation grows to keep pace with a growing population, and that's part of the problem in California. It used to be that we had 40 senators and 80 assembly people for the entire state of California when its population was 4 million. It is now 40 million, and we still have 40 senators and 80 assemblymen. You cannot possibly be in touch with the people when you represent at that ratio. So we figured it's not working. California is broken. It cannot be fixed. I don't care if we put in a Republican governor. He still will not be able to overcome the supermajority in the legislature. And anything that they pass is veto-proof because they have the numbers to overcome any veto that a Republican governor may issue. So it's time to change. It's time to form new states from the failed state of California. We, the people, deserve states which will ensure our liberty, our prosperity, our safety, our security for ourselves and our posterity. And in case you haven't kept up with the definitions, posterity means those people who come after us. We owe them a debt, the same as the people who came before us owed a debt to us. And there it is, the expounding of Janet Chandler.
Well done. Well done.
Yeah, you know, when you stop and think about that, we were capped in 1867, and we had 40 senators and 80 assembly people. Each county actually had their own senator. It was the
exactly.
It was the
federal
model of government, and it was 417,000 people. So that means that every 10,000 people had a senator, but they had their own senator in their counties, and every assembly person only had about 10,000 people. And then you fast forward to now, and it's the ratio has jumped to 1 million for every senator and 500,000 for every assembly person. Now, to give you an idea as to your point, Janet, when it comes to the representation ratio, the state of New Hampshire has 400 people in their assembly. And unlike California, who has 40 million, they only have 3 million. So when you look at that, you're looking at about every 3,200 people. Human beings have actually representation in New Hampshire. So you got to knock on what, maybe 1,000 doors to get elected. Plus, if you want to talk to your assembly person, they call them the state house representatives, but for the sake of explanation, it's the assembly, in their state. You know, you can meet them at Walmart, see them at Safeway, you know, you can see them downtown. You can voice your opinion to them and actually your voice is going to be heard. And again, if you want to, and remember that's one for every 2,000 people, so 3,200 people. I'm talking about human beings, not just voters.
Right.
So you're looking at maybe, I don't know, 1,000 voters, whatever. So it doesn't cost you, you know, $1 million to run for, $10 million probably to run for assembly. I mean, who knows at this point. So we need to have either an increased ratio with 40 million people, which would be how many assembly people?
I know.
16,000?
Yeah,
so,
it's unmanageable.
So is, to Janet's point, there's just no fixing California. And I was told by our congressman, Congressman LaMalta. I'd seen him at a celebration of life, and we were talking. He said, you know, a Republican governor won't help you in California because out of the 80 assembly people you do have, 63 are Democrats, only 17 are Republicans. And, oh, by the way, 4 of them vote with the Democrats most of the time. And out of the Senate, we only have 7 senators out of 40. The other 33 are Democrats. So,
and he knows how it works there because he has been there and done that.
Yeah.
He was Assembly and Senate.
Yes, he was.
He knows exactly what happened there. Worked his way up, so he gets it. He knows.
And what
it.
Flag does he have on his door?
Oh, I think the Jefferson flag.
Is that the one that was behind Newsom when Newsom was visiting in his office?
How hilarious is that?
Well, it's funny, too. You mentioned the number of citizens projected or roughly tabulated for California is the same number for Canada.
Yes, incredible.
So if it becomes a 51st state, we'll have two states that have 40 million people in it.
Yes.
So I'm just going there, and we have two liberal states that have 40 million people in them. So something to think about.
Well, you know, the thing, and we're basing this on law. The California Constitution, Article 2, Section 1 states, all political power is inherent in the people. Government is instituted for their protection, security, and benefit, and they have the right to alter it when the public good may require, which we believe it requires off of the things that Janet and Wynn and I have just said.
Yep.
Number three, the California Constitution, Article 2, Section 8A states, the initiative is the power of the electors, meaning us, to propose statutes and amendments to the Constitution and to adopt or reject them. So that's our political power. That's what we have, again, going back to all the political power being inherent in the people. The other thing we have to look at is the California Constitution, Article 18, Section 3 states that the electors, meaning all of us, may amend the Constitution by initiative. So therefore, this initiative proposes an amendment to the California Constitution as defined in Article 2, Section 1, Article 2, Section 8A, and Article 18, Section 3. So
it's all right there in the California Constitution.
It's all right there.
Yeah,
so we followed it to the T.
Yeah, we're not going out way on a limb someplace and people say, well, that's not legal, you can't do that. Well, yeah, it is right there in our own Constitution.
I have a question. Does it state in the Constitution that the people have to pay for it? Does it state in the Constitution that there has to be a certain number of signatures met to meet the criteria to make it work? Does it say any of that in the Constitution?
I don't know about the Constitution, but it law probably does, and I couldn't cite it for you.
Okay.
But there must be some election code that defines how you bring forth an initiative and how many signatures are required.
Okay. Just asking for.
Yeah, I think the important thing is we know we can bring forth an initiative,
yes,
and the way we're bringing
exactly
forth the initiative is in the constitutional manner.
Right.
So now I had a little trouble with this, and Janet straightened me out like she straightens me out a lot of times.
That's her job.
I'm going to read a couple of things, and I'm going to have Janet touch on them because I was thinking, well, you know, if we separate into four states, right, well, mm-hmm, doesn't that just dissolve the state of California?
Hmm.
And Janet's going, no. And I said, are you sure it just doesn't dissolve the state if we're four states? She said, no, because you need to read. A yes vote for the initiative from the voters of the several counties of California indicates the choice to join the new states that will be formed as outlined in the initiative. And what we had done is we outlined each one of the four states with counties in those particular states.
Well, let's look at those four states and the counties involved, since that's the main part of the initiative. We want to split the state into four separate states. And I actually have the numbers as to how many people would be in each individual state. And, of course, some are bigger than others.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson State would be essentially the northern counties. Coastal California would be everything from Humboldt County south to Los Angeles County.
Would it include Los Angeles County?
It would.
Okay.
Yeah, coastal California. And
okay.
Let's be honest. It's all the liberal counties. It's all the counties that want California the way it is, mm-hmm, because they're benefiting from it. And it's also the largest. It would be approximately 20 million people right there in coastal California. It's a big one. But the way we have written the initiative does not mean that coastal California can prevent the rest of the state, the counties, from separating. Central California, mainly the Central Valley, but going across the Sierra to the counties, some of the counties next to Nevada. Eastern California would be, it's the simplest one because it would involve San Bernardino, Orange, Riverside, San Diego, and Imperial counties. So it's everything that goes from coastal California across to the Arizona-Nevada borders. And those are the four possible states. We have assigned counties to each state, but they're not chiseled in stone. It's just our idea of what might work, and we've tried to align the counties so that they would have something in common.
And be contiguous.
Yeah, and be contiguous. Yes. Are they agricultural? Are they mining? Are they forested? Are they industry? Are they population centers? So unlike what California is now, we are just a conglomerate of counties. Many of us have nothing in common with the others. So we would like to align them so that they do have some commonality.
So then again, a yes vote for this initiative from the voters of the several counties of California indicates a choice to join the new states that will be formed as outlined in the initiative, which means it would be there. Now, that this is the part that is also pretty interesting. If a yes vote from the majority of the citizens in the majority of the counties in any of the individual proposed new states will compel the legislature to enact the governor to sign state split legislation as below for those counties that are affected in the new state. So it gives the latitude and flexibility of each one of those states for that particular process.
And this is the way the election would work.
And this is the thing where Janet straightened me out, because I'm thinking, okay, well, if they all vote for this, California's dissolved. We'd be amending the California Constitution to get rid of California. It would be four new states. California wouldn't exist. But a no vote indicates a rejection. This is D. A no vote indicates a rejection of the amendment to separate California into four separate and distinct states. A no vote by the majority of the citizens and the majority of the counties in any individual proposed new states is a vote for the status quo to remain in California. And I love that part that was put in there, because that really explains it. So coastal California wants to say, California, knock yourself out, but they can't stop Jefferson or central California from leaving.
Exactly. So we have an election in the state, and it is an election by all of the voters in all of the counties, all 58 counties throughout the state. The people vote according to their county and their new state split. So if a majority of the voters in any county vote to split, then they will be allowed to go. If one county in that state says no, then they can stay with California as long as they are contiguous to other states that wish to other counties that wish to remain. So rather than have, again, the big population areas dictate what the small population areas are going to do, it would be dependent on each county to vote and decide what they want to do and if they want to split off and join a new state.
I really like how you closed the loophole on this one. This is an important point. The California governor shall sign, not may, shall sign into law the proposed state split legislation passed and enacted by California, the California State Legislature, and as instructed by the people of California with the passage of a statewide initiative demanding a state split. This legislation process will conform to the United States Constitution, Article 4, Section 3. And all of that covers it. It was nice because you're telling the legislative body, hey, this isn't like, you know, we're going to vote for something and you can turn around and you can change it because you want to. This takes that process away from them.
Also, once the election is over and we have the decision of the voters in the individual counties, the legislature is mandated by this new amendment to the California Constitution to pass legislation allowing those counties to separate and split into a new state. So it will be a constitutional mandate that the counties be allowed to determine which state they want to belong to.
And as Janet said before, by special election, each county may vote to join an adjacent new state. In other words, if they don't want to be in Jefferson, they could be in coastal, whatever they want there. And provided that the state in question is contiguous, means it touches to the affected county that wants to do this. I think that this is kind of important. This was kind of a thing we dealt with in Jefferson. I don't like the name Jefferson. Why is it Jefferson? Okay, I mean, you know, I had people that loved everything about Jefferson, except they didn't want the name.
Well, guess what? That's going to be voted on, too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
And after the legislation is passed, the counties of each new state will be able to select a new name if they choose for their new state.
So there you go.
I love that we covered that, and it's so funny because people would say, well, I mean, that was an objection, and that's why we were laughing, because we heard that all the time.
Yeah.
What do you want to call it, Easter Bunny? I mean...
Well, let's, for instance, let's say that Orange County, which is assigned to Eastern California in our proposal, it's not chiseled in stone, it's just a proposal. Let's say that Orange County votes no. A majority of the people say no, we don't want to leave California, we want to stay. So they can remain because they're contiguous with Los Angeles County. They can go into coastal California, which would probably remain California. Probably the coastal counties would not vote to separate. So I can see that, logically speaking, would remain California. And they would remain with their legislators and their governor and their constitution. So Orange County could go remain with California because it's contiguous to the other coastal counties. And the same could happen to most of the counties if they vote no. If a county is in the middle of a state and a particular county votes no, we don't want to leave, well, they may be forced to because they're not contiguous with any other state. Such is the way of elections.
Very true. Also, after the formation of a new state, within 90 days, each state shall form committees to write new constitutions, which would be submitted to the United States Congress to satisfy Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution, which guarantees a Republican form of government, right. Which is another great point.
We do have a snag. Even though we have a constitutional mandate that our California legislature would have to approve the state split, it still has to go to the federal government, and they have to approve it also.
Yep.
And they could always say no, but we're trying to time this well so that we have a sympathetic federal government that would say yes, we will approve a state split.
Well, and I think the thing about Congress, too, that's a great point, Janet, because the thing about Congress now, I mean, New York is trying a state split, Illinois is trying a state split, Florida is talking about a state split, Oregon's talking about a state split, Idaho is talking about adding Oregon. I mean, you look all across the United States and you still have this line of basically rural and urban. Also, mm-hmm. You have a line on liberalism as opposed to conservatism, but I think that the economics of it, I think, may even, you know, not every farmer in the North State is a conservative.
That's correct.
And so, but they all want the same thing. They want their farms to work, and they want to make a profit, mm-hmm. and they want to make sure they can grow their crops without a bazillion regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I think this really comes. I think that's really something that we're going to all agree on, is that economically and culturally we have things that may not be political.
Well, and keep in mind, too, it's been done before.
Yes.
It truly has. So Vermont, Kentucky, Maine, and West Virginia were all created from the territory of established states under the requirements of Article 4, Section 3 of the Federal Constitution.
Now, here's an important point. Each new state will form committees of separation to negotiate the allocation of assets and debt of the former state of California. And we, you know, first of all, I'd like to give a special thanks to Mark Baird.
Absolutely.
He has been absolutely, he's been a mentor to all of us. Great guy, humble, fun, good man. Point being is that he always brought up committees of separation.
Mm-hmm.
And the committee of separation, for example, you know, what happens to the Caltrans trucks? Who gets them? Well, we found out actually from
Kamala Harris.
Yeah, when she was the Attorney General of the state of California, that those particular
assets
in your particular state,
district,
would
and
go
area.
To, a district
yep.
and county would go to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They were bought for you because why would they send a snowplow from Lassen County to Los Angeles?
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
Right on.
So those are the kind of things that we have to look at. And they're going to have inventory rosters that they should be keeping current, and we need to be able to audit those as well. So then if there's something that they're trying to pull fast on us, they're going to, it'll get ugly.
And there's something else, too, There is a downside to the state split. Not only will there be an equitable distribution of the California assets, there will be an equitable distribution of the California debts. Yes.
Proven upon an audit.
Yes.
We have to have an audit. And do you think California can do an audit?
They don't.
Forensic
never,
audit?
Never done one. How
forensic audit, might I say. So upon a proven forensic audit, we'll be happy to comply.
But it would only be fair that the equitable distribution of the debt be done according to population.
Correct.
Since that's how the taxes are apportioned, population.
That's right.
So, yes, we would still have to pay, make good on California's debt, which they're not supposed to have any because we're supposed to have a balanced budget.
Well,
they're not supposed to spend more than they bring in.
Well, keep in mind, too, when West Virginia did the split, how many centuries did it take for them to pay it off?
I know, but they did
1.5 centuries.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's doable.
a word of warning on the West Virginia state separation. It was different from the rest in that Virginia left the union.
The union.
They seceded.
Well, actually, the legislative body left.
Yes.
This was not a state separation. They seceded from the union during the beginning of the Civil War. Mm-hmm. And West Virginia said, no, we're not seceding. We're staying with the United States. So, it was a state separation, but they didn't have to get permission from everybody according to Article 4, Section 3, because there was no one to get permission from.
Mm-hmm.
But Vermont, Maine, and what was the other
Kentucky?
One? Kentucky. They all did it according to the federal constitution as a state split.
Right, right.
So it's doable. It's legal.
It's been done before.
It's been done before. It takes the approval of the people, and that's what we are beginning to look at now. Is this something you want? Is this something you are willing to support? Is this something you are willing to put in an effort to achieve? All we want is fair representation, and we're not going to get it from California. Even if Steve Hilton or Chad Bianco are elected governor, it's not going to happen.
What a great point. What a great point. You know, and you're so right about that, because without representation, nothing matters.
That's correct.
If you don't have representation in a Republican form of government, nothing else matters. I don't care what your money is. I don't care if you buy things with puka shells. It doesn't matter. The point is representation is the main thing.
Lack of representation and dilution of vote.
Exactly right.
That's exactly what we've been fighting the entire time.
Exactly. The purpose of the initiative is to provide adequate representation for all people within geographical borders of California and to protect rural, more sparsely populated counties from being held hostage by a densely populated county and being subject to the tyranny of the majority, which is a democracy, not a republic. Now, this is something that really just sort of sums it up. Because again, just to be clear, a yes vote will amend the California Constitution to allow and require a state split. That's a yes vote. A no vote will maintain California in its current political and geographical conformation. There it is.
But a yes vote is not dependent on the state as a whole. We've divided it up into counties to determine. So Los Angeles and those coastal counties, with their overpopulation, cannot hold us hostage anymore.
Amen to that. So with that, I think we have to go off to our break. David, thank you for being so patient. We have a great producer in here.
We do.
Even though he threw away his keyboard during halftime.
Failed equipment.
All of a sudden, this doesn't work. Wham! So with that, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
52, 53, and 54.
Amen. I want more.
Mama, you taught me to do the right thing. So now you have to let your baby. Through this crazy thing called life.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Goldleaf Nursery is celebrating 50 years in business. Yep, 50 years. Seems like yesterday our nursery and landscape business was just a little seedling itself, but the truth is we've been serving Shasta County for 50 years, growing shrubs, trees, and veggie plants since 1975. It's the 50th anniversary sale now, all through springtime. With all shrubs and trees and ground covers 1 gallon or larger, 30% off. We have a good selection of spring shade bloomers such as azaleas and camellias and many other sun-blooming plants to enhance your landscape in those sunny locations in the yard. This is a perfect time of the year to start preparing your vegetable garden. We have organic soils and fertilizers, including a full line of John and Bob's Organics, and we carry non-GMO seeds. So rest assured, you can have a healthy planting crop in your vegetable garden. All shrubs and trees and ground covers 1 gallon or larger are 30% off. If you have not been to Goldleaf Nursery, we invite you to check us out and see for yourself why we have so many customers tell us what a unique nursery we have. Goldleaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and 1/4 mile from Airport Road.
Reading Rodeo is back in Buckin' on the River, May 14th through 17th. Celebrating 77 years of nonstop rodeo action, world champion cowboys competing in the largest four-day rodeo in Northern California. Don't miss our 77th annual Reading Rodeo tradition. Get your tickets now only at readingrodeo.com before they're gone. Reading Rodeo, where the West comes alive, May 14th through 17th.
Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. Mama Jefferson, happy birthday. Happy Mother's Day. When we get the initiative done, it'll be your birthday.
Yeah, Jefferson is my third child.
That's true, it is. And Sally Lou, thank you for the music, baby. And happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all you ladies out there. And
absolutely.
It's, it's a fun day.
The most rewarding job I ever had.
Yeah. Anyway, so right now we are going to open the lines up. It's 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. If you have something that you are wanting to announce or bring up, that's great. Questions on the initiative would be welcomed. And I think that what we need to be doing is understanding that we don't have a lot of time to get this done when it comes to this initiative. We need to find out, folks, if this is something that you want or you don't want. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to start making that decision. I've been talking to a lot of people over the last month. I'm getting a lot of different comments from people about just one horror story after another about what's happening to them. I mean, even problems with, the schools is one of the main things. The schools are atrocious. We need to start changing things to make sure that our kids are protected, but also we need to start creating an environment in a state where the economy isn't always going south and we're subject to regulation after regulation after regulation.
How about the closing of two gas oil refineries
in California
looking at $8 a gallon gas?
Unbelievable.
A Republican governor is not going to solve that.
No. You know, and that's really been an issue that people have talked about so much. It's just like, oh, you know, hey, we get a Republican governor. That's what we need. The thing that I don't understand is people are still really going after this recall thing for Gavin Newsom. He terms out in about, what, a year?
Well, we're already into a new election cycle. Why do we care about Newsom?
Exactly. So, you know, and he turns out he can't run again anyway.
Right. He's only going to be there for another year and a half.
Yeah. It would take longer than that for a recall. It was a silly idea from the start.
Well, the second time.
The second one.
Yeah, the first time I think it had some merit to it.
Well, yes. He probably was recalled.
But, you know, when you hear from, you know, your elected official, your congressman, that's not going to help you. I mean,
you know,
no.
It ain't going to help you. And, you know, when you look at some of the people that we run, I mean, what do you think about the two candidates for governor? What do you guys
The Republican candidates?
Yeah, Republican candidates.
I think they both have great potential.
Okay.
I think the Democrats are sitting back waiting to see what Kamala is going to do. Rather than try to recall Newsom, why aren't they out there talking about how bad Kamala would be as a governor candidate?
Oh, man.
That's where the effort should
be. Well, that's
be.
A given.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody has to even say that. I mean, well, I guess you should here in California, but I cannot imagine her being governor of the state of California. That just...
Oh, I can't imagine it. It just gives me horrors.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Katie Porter is another one who's been talked about as a possible candidate. And Elena Kunalakis, who is our lieutenant governor. All three of them are far-left radical liberals who would just... Same old, same old.
Right. Nothing's going to change. If anything, it'll get worse.
Even Jerry Brown, when he left office before Governor Newsom was elected, Jerry Brown says, well, if you didn't like me, you're not going to like Newsom even more because he's farther left than I am. And he was right.
Yeah, that was a hard one to believe.
Yeah.
And so the next guy's going to be, or person's going to be farther left if they're from that side of
the
aisle.
Tell me what qualifications Steve Hilton has.
He has name recognition.
Okay.
You know, frankly, he has name recognition, and he at least knows what's going on in government because he's been in a news person. At this point, could we do any worse?
Well, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
What I'm looking at is how do we do better? You know, Larry Elder, did he throw his hat in the ring? Or
I have not heard.
Not this time so far.
Yeah. We need someone to be elected who's not a Democrat. And if Steve Hilton has name recognition and can get elected based on name recognition, at least we're not sliding down the leftist hill.
Well, I mean, it seems as if, you know, I think the thing, by the way, I'm going to test you, my producer. Can I say BS? Thank you.
You said it.
We actually hold the distinction on this show. We don't get bleeped because I have talks with Dave, and there are other words we can use that get the point across.
We have been bleeped.
Because I'm here and I
Oh, you got bleeped. That's right. Lynn got bleeped.
I demand pure language on this show.
Well, I was speaking purely when I got bleeped.
Purely, clearly.
But it's kind of cool to get bleeped.
It's a badge of honor.
I think the thing is that we're all kind of tired of, and that's why I think I think one of the reasons that Donald Trump got elected is that, you know, he didn't have time for BS, and neither did the American people.
It's true.
Right. And they're just, you know, and I think we've gotten to a point where we have a mamby-pamby situation. I mean, I'm not saying Steve Hilton's a bad guy, but I mean, what are the qualifications? I mean, the guy, I think, was born in England, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, English. But he is a naturalized citizen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, and then what? And the sheriff, I like the sheriff. I mean, you know, he seems to be a good guy. My only challenge is, it seems to me, when you have somebody who has worked in the public sector for so long, they're used to rank and file and following a particular path and not really thinking outside the box where Trump outside the box.
Well, I think, too, that... either one would be satisfactory. Like you said, what are they going to be able to do? You know, that's
exactly.
The thing. Well, the legislature is where we need to change it. And people have to understand that we have to change the legislature.
They need to make a big noise. And I'm not sure that Mr. LaBianco, it is capable of making a big noise, getting noticed, being outrageous enough for people to say, oh, there he is. Steve Hilton could make a big noise.
Well, that's a good point. Anyway, we have a caller on the line. Dolores, what say you?
Yes, good morning. I was calling to kind of make a comment about yesterday, and I heard you on the radio with Callie Frost, KQMS, about putting Eric Magrini. And how do you, I mean, I think you were bothered by him thanking him for his service. What service? You know what I mean? What service did he provide for Shasta County? None.
Are you talking about Kevin?
Eric Magrini.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think, you know, that's a thing where that was, you know, Kelly Frost actually asked to have somebody come on and speak about the rodeo. He didn't know it was going to be Magrini. Yeah. He had no idea.
I think he knew. Yeah,
well, I don't think he did. I mean, that's what he told
maybe
me.
Maybe not, but, well, you know, maybe not, but still,
I don't know.
He still could have asked them the question.
I don't really want to go there. That's his program.
Right.
You certainly can call him and tell him what you think. You know?
No, I will. Actually, I will call him next weekend because he's got a notice already. He will serve, him and the kid QMS radio for him doing what he's doing.
Well, you know, we really don't. This is a radio station that belongs to somebody else. We just pay for our program here. So if you have something you want to, comment about on the,
I'll make another comment regarding our ROV.
Okay.
I'm bothered about him being, Black Lives Matter. And nobody seemed to mention that. I mean, come on, you know.
Are you talking about Clint Curtis?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Because you said him. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think I'm bothered by that. People should be questioning that. Hmm. And people should know that he is part of Black Lives Matter. And he supports all the people coming over the border. You know that. His law firm supports all those immigrants coming across the border.
Well, see, again, I don't know this stuff. I'm not saying that it's not true or untrue. But that isn't really where we're going with the program, but.
No, I get it, but.
But anyway, are you having a good Mother's Day? Are you having a good Mother's Day?
It's, you know, Terry, I get it. You don't want to talk about things like that, but it's important.
Well, no, it's just, the thing is that that's not what we're talking about this week. If you want to call in next week and talk about something like that.
But that's the thing. People always, you know, you always try to, you know, sweep it under the carpet. People need to know this, Terry, just like you said to about Kelly. You know, it's not a gotcha thing. This is important for the voters to know.
Well, again, he's going to have to. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. I'm just saying that, you know, there's a lot of stuff probably on both sides. I mean, there's things that people say about Joanna that she has done, some things she has done that's been documented, some things that Clint Curtis has done that's been documented. I mean, everybody has skeletons. So,
and people need to put that out on both sides and also mention he's.
Yeah, that may not be a bad idea. And maybe you could, maybe you can bring that up, on a show with Kelly when you give him a call.
Yeah, well, no, I will, you know, but I think it's important also in your show since you're always talking about Constitution, freedom of speech, and rights from the left.
Well,
right,
constitutionally,
whatever.
He has a right to protest with anybody he wants, so we're going to get back to our subject, but do you have anything to add to the subject? Happy to hear it. If you have anything you want to talk about.
Separating the states, I don't think I think that we should give the guy who's a sheriff, you know, from Riverside to a chance before anybody starts doing anything, waste of time. We should focus on supporting him and helping him to get it elected for, you know, replacing Gavin Newsom.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
You know, what's the point, you know? I think he's great. He's going to be having, a fundraising June 21st. I think a lot of people should be attending and supporting that.
Okay, that's a good point. Yep.
Yeah, I'm separating the state. If you separate the state in four, you know, positions or whatever, that means you're going to have how many people to run for that position? Who's going to run? Once we get them in there, are we going to be having the same old problem? It doesn't change. It's just making another problem for another problem to create.
Yeah. We don't need any more problems, that's for sure, Dolores. Right. But we do have another caller.
Right.
So thank you so much for the call, and have a great Mother's Day. Richard, what say you?
Good morning. This sales tax is about 13% increase. They say,
Richard, your phone isn't, Richard, Your phone is not very clear. Are we on speakerphone or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me better?
Much better. Go ahead, sir, because we didn't get what you said. Go ahead.
It's not a penny on the dollar.
Oh, are you talking about the well, you've got to repeat what you're talking about. Tax. What sales tax for what? We didn't hear that first part.
You know,
go
the
ahead.
Increase.
For?
It would be. It would be a 13%. I've calculated it.
Right.
And you know, they say a penny on the dollar. No, it's much more than
is
that.
Is this the sales tax for the city of Reading?
Yes.
For?
And of course, they say the first responders.
Gotcha.
And your automatic
gotcha.
Reflexive response is supposed. Oh, I'm all for that.
Okay.
Once the sales tax goes up, it never goes down.
Yeah, you know, I had a talk with Janessa Audette. She goes, it's only 1%. I said, no, it's 13%. I think that we have to quit teaching Common Core, as my friend Janet Chandler would say.
All right.
All right, Richard. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
So, I think that looking at, you know, you can tell just from a lot of different people, there's a lot of frustration out there. People are tired of people saying they're going to represent them and not representing them in a constitutional way. We have that a lot. You know, again, Steve Hilton or the sheriff, I mean, yeah, everybody's right. They'd both be better than what we have or who else is running. It'd be great just to have somebody who could run, who could actually do something. And Janet, you made a good point about Steve Hilton, because I think he would get out front and he would actually engage the people. Although when I saw the interview with the sheriff, with John Knight, he did a good job.
He's good. He has good ideas. But it's kind of compared to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is outrageous, but he got people's attention. They listened to him. As compared to a Mitt Romney, who nobody listened to, and it didn't matter how good his opinions were, which I think were garbage. But we need someone who will grab the attention of the voters so that they say, oh, I saw him, I heard of him. Well, yeah, I'm going to vote for him. In our mission statement for the state split, we copied it after the Declaration of Independence, and we talk about the rights that we are trying to protect. And when sometimes we don't have a government that is representing us. We need to dissolve those bands and go with something else. But it's also important for us to declare the reasons why we want to have a state split. And we also expect our governor candidates to give us the reasons why they think they would be a good governor. And that's what I'm waiting to hear from those governor candidates. Why should I vote for you? And they're going to have to say it loudly enough for the people to hear and understand and go with them.
Yeah. You know, and I think that, you know, and I think that's what it's going to take. We have so many people that are so careful about everything. And it's funny because the, you know, if you get someone on the left using every foul, filthy word in the book, it's fine. You get somebody on the right that uses that or slips somewhere, they're evil. You know, everybody's tired of the double standard that we have with conservative and liberal. And I don't think it's really Democrat or Republican.
I had a caller ask, where can they sign the petition?
Oh.
The initiative.
The initiative is being introduced. And when you've got more information on that on the website and other things.
Right. We have a website that we're in the process of working on. We've had some setbacks on it in the initial setup of the website with the companies where you buy the domains and all that kind of stuff and where they house everything. And so we finally got over those hurdles and we're in the process now of getting that website developed. And we're hoping it should be done probably, I'm going to guess, probably the next couple of weeks. And as soon as we have it up and running and it's for public consumption, we will announce it here on the radio station, on our show.
Yeah, and I think there's something else, too, you know, and you can ask your friends. And next week we're going to have Patrick Jones in here.
Mm-hmm.
But he and Lori are very flexible.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, if you have comments or if you want to give us some feedback, that would be great. Is there a place we can send them to give us some kind of feedback on how they feel about the initiative?
Not yet.
Not yet. No, okay,
not yet.
We're getting there. Okay, so anyway, you know, we need to see, you need to be talking to your friends. We need to be talking to people and saying, yeah, this is something we have to do. I love the way it's been written. It's beautiful because of the fact that it's self-explanatory. And, you know, and we're going to be doing a little bit of a town hall. It's going to be Wynn, Janet, and Dominic Santangelo. The four of us will be going to Colusa County. It will be Saturday, May the 17th at 3 o'clock, this coming Saturday, at the Colusa Assembly of God Church at 1747 California Highway 20, Colusa, California. That is Saturday, May 17th at 3 p.m. Colusa Assembly of God Church, 1747 California 20, Colusa, California. And we will be discussing the four-state split. We'll be discussing, I'm excited, during the break, Wynn and I were talking, he's got some great stuff, because really when it comes to the committees of separation and the auditing and all that, so that is an intricate part that Wynn actually makes interesting. It's not an easy one to do, okay? But we're pretty excited about this, and if you have any questions, you can contact Lauren Manor. That's Lauren Manor at 530-919-8199. That's Lauren Manor. Her number is 530-919-8199. So calling all patriots. Let's find out if this is something everybody wants.
There you go.
So with that, oh, it is Mother's Day. I get to go home and plant daffodils. Yeah, that's it. The hole digger.
And I get to go home and spend my Mother's Day picking up an endless supply of pine cones. And I wish that it was a cash crop because everybody in Bernie would be selling them.
You know, Sally loves those things. I mean, we pick up pine cones all the time.
Well, I have picked up at least 39 gallon trash bags, and I'm not exaggerating.
I believe you.
Yeah, they just keep falling.
That's a lot.
People in my neighborhood walk by my big pine tree in my front yard, and they just laugh at me.
That's why you're so fit.
That's right.
You know, it is. Exactly. You know, the pine cones during the summer and the spring, and then you've got snow during the winter.
Shoveling the snow.
That's hilarious. Jenna, what are you doing? I'm shoveling the driveway.
For the third time.
Yeah, for the third time today. So anyway, folks, moms, we wish you all a very, very happy Mother's Day. I think that one of the things we have to be discussing and really looking into, especially with these four states, is with the California horrendous laws that we have that are just ruining our children, and just a situation where it's so atrocious, pedophilish, horrible laws that are just that need to really be addressed,
and they keep coming. They're not slowing down,
and they're not mandates.
However outrageous it is, they keep putting them forth. Yes.
So
people say, well, what can I do? Display your patriotism. Put up a flag. If you don't have a flag, the Flag Center on Hilltop here in Reading has innumerable flags. They have flag pins. They have everything you could possibly want to display to show your patriotism, that you believe in this country, particularly in California.
Right.
We don't have a state that is being run by patriots.
Amen to that.
Amen to that.
Well, I agree. So we need to have everybody out there doing exactly what we're talking about. And show support. You know, when the time comes for signature gathering, help us do that. You know, when the time comes, sign up. Be one of the first ones to sign up to actually sign the petition and then go collect signatures. We need to do this. We're going to need everybody's help statewide so we can show people how to do it like we always do here in Shasta County. And it just kind of set the pace and set the tone for everything, and hopefully it'll be contagious. And if you have friends and family in other counties within the state, reach out to them and let them know what's going to be going on.
And please share this show.
Share this show with them as well.
And remember, it's not hopeless because Tim Draper had his Four States initiative a few years ago, and it gathered enough signatures. It qualified for the ballot, and the court kept it off.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.